Well, it's wonderful to be back here again, and exciting to see all the church growth. This is great. It's just exciting. Aren't you happy to be here today?
Yes.
Amen. Coming and ready to receive. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing upon the worship this morning, Father God. We just worship you. We praise you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our teacher, our guide. And so, Lord, we choose to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to be receptive to all that you have for us this day. And we truly give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said,
amen,
amen. Amen. You know, I have a table out there in the foyer. I'm sure some of you saw it when you came in. I just want to mention a couple things about that because, you know, when a carpenter builds a house, he uses tools. Amen? Well, we have to build our faith every day, not once a month, not once every 6 weeks, but every day. So I like to call that a tool table in the back. Amen? And so one of the tools that I have is one of our most popular books. It's called Instructions from the Great Physician. Now, I'm sure all of you, how many believe in healing? Amen. But, you know, those that believe in it, sometimes we struggle in understanding how to apply the healing. We believe it's available. We believe that we're healed, but we struggle with knowing how to apply it. Well, this little book, the chapter titles are Following Instructions. That's the number key thing, is to follow God's instructions. And this whole book is about his instructions. But, you know, when a doctor gives you a prescription, on that prescription bottle, there's always instructions. Amen? And, you know, if you follow the instructions, well, you can expect some results from that. Well, if you change those instructions that are on that little medicine bottle, maybe it says take 3 tablets once a day, or 1 tablet 3 times a day on an empty stomach, and you say, well, I don't want to have to remember to do it 3 times. I think I'll just take all 3 in the morning. Well, you've changed the instructions, and it's not going to work that way. Or you might think, well, this was really expensive. I think I'll stretch it out, and I'll just take my medication every other day. That way, I only have to buy it every other month. Well, if you change those instructions, it's just not going to work. Or you might think, wow, this is so good. I think I'll take the whole thing at once and be done with it. You'll be done all right. Amen. Well, God has instructions, and you can't change his instructions. But if you don't know what they are, you may not even be applying them correctly, and that might be why there's a delay in receiving your healing. So it talks about following his instructions, how to take the medicine. It even talks about the dosage that you would take. It talks about having bulldog tenacity, that you absolutely refuse to be defeated. Because, you know, sometimes we're expecting a good report, and it just doesn't always come in the way or the time that you think. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's when you have to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, because we are created to win. So it just talks about having a fighting spirit. And God's word is medicine. It isn't kind of like it. It isn't sort of like it. The Bible says it is medicine. And one thing I love about God's medicine, it has no negative side effects. Different than man's medicine. So you can double up, triple up, quadruple up, take all that you need, amen, because you can't overdose. Another book, or another little thing I have here is called A Daily Power Bar for Healing. Now this is filled, I think there's about 12 healing scriptures in there, and a couple of prayers to pray for yourself. But it's so convenient because you can keep it in your pocket, keep it in your purse. There's no excuse not to have God's word with you at all times. Because like I said, we can't be carrying our Bible around with us to work, to school all day long. But this, you can have it in your pocket. You might take a lunch break, just open that up, pull it out of your pocket, and take one dose of God's medicine. And you take it by looking at it and reading it out loud, because then your eye gate, your mouth gate, your ear gate are all involved, and then it gets into the heart. And that's where you begin to really step out in faith and use your faith to activate that healing. Amen. So these are important tools. I know a lot of you probably have this, but this is really a super popular item. But it's a laminated card that I have designed to put in your bathroom. So you've got scriptures first thing in the morning when you're shampooing your hair. You don't have to wait till the end of the day to light your candle. Amen. God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So light your path first thing in the morning. There are scriptures for wealth and health. And I chose those two subjects because those are the two areas where the devil attacks you the most to keep you from doing kingdom business. Amen. So you want to start your day with the word of God right there in the shower. Isn't that great? It's just so convenient. Who would like to have one of these shower cards? Okay, you over here on the end. Mm-hmm. You, uh-huh. The girl right there. Who would like to have this power pack? Power pack. Okay. You guys did a great job of worship. Wasn't it great, Dee? I mean, you beautiful. It's very anointed. Thank you. And because, do you know what you guys do? The Ministry of Helps sets the mood for the Holy Spirit to flow. Long before you ever see Pastor D or before you ever see a guest speaker, they ushered the Holy Spirit in before you ever saw us. You guys play a very vital role. So don't ever take for granted. You're very, very important to the church. Just a little side note there because I love the worship. another thing, this is a book. Now, this one is, I have them on the back table, but mine's wore out. I use this all the time. But it's called My Daily Delight in the Lord. You need a delight in the Lord every day. And it talks about how to establish intimacy with God. And when you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, there's always an impartation of wisdom, of direction, of knowledge. He wants to help you to know what to do at the right time, what to say, that kind of thing. But you know, intimacy can be blocked. And it talks about that in here. But then it also talks about removing the blockages because you don't want anything to hinder you in your relationship with the Lord. And then there's scriptures in here for just worship scriptures. I just love to worship the Lord before I ever get into praying and asking Him to do something for me. I just want to worship Him. Because, you know, worship is the highest form of prayer. Because you're not asking for anything, you're giving. You're giving something to the Lord. And some of the daily scriptures that I like that are just so powerful. This one, for example, the Spirit of Truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. When you read these scriptures, it activates it. It refreshes you of what the Holy Spirit is there to do. He's there to guide you. And for such a time as this that we are living in, we need to know that we have the wisdom from within. You know, sometimes negative things happen and people say, well, that person was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever heard that? That almost implies, well, you could be in the wrong place at the right time. No. If it's the wrong place, it is always the wrong time. And the Holy Spirit, His job is to help you to be sure that you are always in the right place. Amen. Another one, I am filled with the knowledge of God's will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want to know God's will for my life, and I want to walk in it every day. It's so important that you just refresh yourself on scriptures like that. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Therefore, I have divine connections, divine appointments, supernatural relationships, and overflowing favor. You know, the favor of God opens the door for God's blessings to flow in your life. You want to know that you are highly favored of the Lord. Amen. So those are just some tools that are just very, very important for you. And if you'd ever like to be in partnership with our ministry and receive our newsletter, because I always pray for my partners as well as them praying for me, because it's a joint venture. Amen. It's a two-sided relationship. So the title of my message today is Don't Let Logic defeats you. It's very easy to get into logic and reasoning and think, well, I don't know, that doesn't sound right. I think this is more logical. Well, logic and reasoning can defeat you every time. If you have your Bibles, open to the Gospel of John, John 16, verse 7. Actually, I'm going to read mine out of the NIV. John 6. How many have Bibles with you today? Always bring your Bible to church, amen, because it's the sword of the Spirit. Because how are you going to know if I'm even speaking the truth? Because you need to know the Word of God for yourself. So in John 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper cannot come." So after Jesus fulfilled his assignment on earth, he had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come. And the Holy Spirit is called our Helper. He is not the doer of the word. He's the Helper. We have to be the doer, but he will help you to be the doer of the word. And then in the same chapter, but in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, it calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. When he has come, he will guide you into how much truth?
All.
Not half, not three quarters, but all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, that's what he will speak. The Holy Spirit always hears from the Father God, and what he hears is what he will speak to us. And he will also tell you things to come. So you never have to be caught off guard. That's why it's so important that we want to have that intimate relationship with him so that our hearing is very, very sharp. Amen? Because he's going to guide you into all the truth, every direction, every single... We're not talking about just Sunday. Every day of the week, he wants to guide you to be in the right place. Of the right place for a blessing, amen, or a right place so that you're not caught off guard and be in a place that would be dangerous to you. Because you all know we're living in some different times, amen, and you want to know that you're hearing from God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that lives in you." You know, I don't think we have really grasped the reality of what that scripture is saying. We all know the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father and God the Son, where do they live? In heaven. But the Holy Spirit does not live in heaven. He lives on the inside of you and me. That means God has imparted one third of himself to actually live inside of you and me. One third of the Holy Trinity lives inside of you and me. To me, that is just beyond awesome. That God would put one third of himself to live inside of us, to teach us, to guide us, to direct us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us. I mean, that is just beyond awesome. So we want to be very in tune to Father God, who is living in us through the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to recognize the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, you'll just have an unction on the inside of you. It's just something, it just seems right. It gives you peace. Well, God always guides you through peace, so you can trust that peace. But if there's ever a time where it's just something just doesn't seem right, or there's just an unsettledness, or there's anxiety about something, you just stop and you don't take one step further until you have peace about the direction that you should go. Amen? It's just like when you drive your car. We know that if we have a red light, what are we supposed to do?
Stop.
And if we don't stop at a red light and we go through it, head-on collision. So it is spiritually. If you've got that uneasiness, you've got that check in your spirit, and you keep moving forward, you will have a spiritual collision that will result in some outward negative circumstances. And then people often say, "Now, why did God let that happen?" God wouldn't let it happen. You're the one that went through the red light. See? So we need to know, do I have a red light or do I have a green light? Because I need to know which direction I should go and when I should stop. So there's two areas. It's just like that little shower card. It talks about wealth and health. And I'm going to kind of zero in on those two subjects regarding the Holy Spirit helping us. Because once again, logic and reasoning will defeat you every time. It's just like maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you not to go to a certain place and you think, well, I always go there. You know, when I'm at home, I'm a volunteer chaplain with the police department. I think I've probably shared that with you before, but the Holy Spirit is just urging me to say that again. I wasn't even in my notes. But so my job as a chaplain is I have to drive in the police cars with the officers. I actually have my own bulletproof vest. I have a full police uniform. I mean, I look like I am a police officer. And this one time I was with a police officer, young guy, 26 years old. He was a strong Christian, wonderful guy. And the more we talked about the Lord that night, the more quiet the evening got. And I was telling him about the Holy Spirit. And I says, you know, your job is very dangerous. So you need to know and how to listen to the Holy Spirit, because you've got inside information that you didn't learn at the police academy. This comes from God. And so you need to listen to that. And he was very interested in that, but he had never heard that before. And then he wanted to know about Bible school, and I told him I had gone to Bible school. And he said, I think I'd like to go to Bible school. And I said, well, you've just graduated from the police academy. You've only been with the police department 6 months. You and your wife just had your first baby. He's just 6 months old. And right now, rather than just packing up and moving away, maybe you should consider correspondence Bible school. And he says, now, I would like that. I said, well, I'll bring you some information. And so the next morning, I thought, well, I'm going to go out and arrive with that police officer, because he's just like a sponge. And, you know, when you get somebody like that, you want to just keep pouring into them. And but that morning, the Holy Spirit said, don't go with him today. And I thought, oh. Now, logic, reasoning, why would I not want to go when I'm just pouring out the Word of God and he's just like a sponge? This is a good thing. And then to give him information about Bible school, I mean, it just doesn't seem logical or reasonable that I wouldn't want to go or that I shouldn't go. But I said, Holy Spirit, if you're telling me not to go, I got that red light, I won't go. I can give it to him next week. I got busy working in my office, and then I thought, oh, it's 3 o'clock. I need to get dressed and get to the police department. And the Holy Spirit said, remember, I said, don't go today. Now, I wasn't rebelling. I just forgot. And I love the scripture where it says, he will bring things to your remembrance. He said, remember, don't go. I said, oh, that's right, I won't go. That was at 3 o'clock. At 5 minutes after 5 o'clock, he was shot and murdered. I would have been right there with, I was just, my heart just sunk that he was killed. Praise God, he went to heaven. Just 26 years old. And the sergeant called me in the office. He said, Marilyn, I need to know, because this was our first incident like that in 100 years. And he said, I need to know what you would have done. How would you have handled that? Because, like, again, we hadn't had it happen in 100 years. And I said, well, first I know I call for backup. He said, yes. Then second, what would you do? I said, well, because I don't use a weapon, I have no weapon in the natural. I said, I would have just ducked down on the floor to get out of shooting range, because there was a lot of shooting going. They were both just, I mean, it was a lot of shooting. I said, I would have just ducked down the floor to get out of range. Now, at that point, I already knew what he was going to say. He said, in that case, the car would have been your coffin. Because after the man finished killing the officer, he got in and stole the police car, and there's a loaded rifle, and he was already a criminal. And now the adrenaline, you can just imagine how high that was. But only the Holy Spirit knew what was going to happen that day. Only the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we don't judge. You know, I was teaching him about, but you don't learn just like this, you know. But praise God, he went to heaven. But I had learned how to listen. If I had not listened, if I would have gone with logic or reasoning, I would not be here today. Amen. So we have to learn, don't let logic defeat you, because it will defeat you every time. Now I want to share a couple testimonies with you. This one is when I first really began to learn how to trust the Holy Spirit in the financial realm. This will tell you how many years ago it was, because back then my rent was $278. And my salary was about $320, $318, $20. So I didn't have a lot of money to play with. But then this one month, there was an emergency situation, and I had to help my family with something, and it used up all of my rent money. So when I got back home, my rent was going to be due the next day, and I only had $56 left, and I needed $278. So immediately I said, Lord, I need $278 for tomorrow. So what are we going to do about this? And it was easy to say we, because when you get born again, you enter into a sonship relationship with the Lord. But when you are faithful in your tithes and offerings, you enter into a financial partnership with the Lord. And because I've always been a tither and a giver, I knew I'm in partnership, and the Lord is my chief executive officer. He's my CEO. So I said, what are we going to do about this? And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, of the 56, give 30. I said, yes, that's my answer. I immediately wrote out a check. It was 9 o'clock at night. I thought, I'll just mail it on my way to work in the morning. I worked at a church in a ministry. And so that morning, I mailed it on my way to the office. I got to the office, and just 5 minutes after I opened the door, a man walked in. He said, Marilyn, this morning when I was in my prayer time, the Lord told me to give you something. And he handed me an envelope, and in that envelope was $300. From the time I went to bed at 9 o'clock till I got up at 8 o'clock, the Lord multiplied that. Now, I want to use a visual aid and show you something. Because sometimes pictures are worth 1,000 words, amen? So this is a math. I want to see a little math example. I'm sorry, Elaine, I didn't tell you that early enough. Now, I had $56, and I said, what are we going to do about it? Now, the Lord said, of the 56, give 30. Now, if your mind isn't really renewed to the Word of God, and you're not really trusting Him with all of your heart, and you start thinking logically, you're going to think, well, if I've got $56 and I take away 30, I'm only going to have, what, $26 left. Now, that's the way our math is, you know. And so often we think, when God says give, so often we think subtraction. God never deals in subtraction. God always deals in multiplication. But if we think, well, now I'm going to have less than what I started with, I'm going to create a larger problem. So I don't think I better give. But yet in our mind, we're thinking subtraction. You don't want to do that. Now let's look at the next slide. God always thinks multiplication. If he says give 30, he's got something he wants to do with that $30. Now, had I gone with logic and reasoning and not given the 30, I'd still be struggling. How am I going to come up with this $278? God always has the solution if we trust in him. So because I trusted, he multiplied. Because I'm thinking, okay, God says multiplication. I know that's what he's talking about. I said, yes, you want me to give 30? I mean, amen. That's my solution right there. Now, look at the next slide. Look at the difference. Logic and reasoning, you're going to have $26. But if you will trust the Lord with all your heart, look at the difference between 26 and 300. So you've got to learn to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And you've got to be obedient in your tithes and offerings if you expect him to multiply. Because he says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's exactly what God did. While I was asleep, He multiplied that. Do you see what I'm saying? How logic and reasoning can keep you out of the blessing of God. We don't want to do that. We need to learn. We can trust the Holy Spirit when He tells you to do something. Thank you so much, Lane. You can trust the Holy Spirit for two reasons. One, because the Bible says He is the Spirit of truth. He only tells you the truth because He is the Spirit of truth. And you can also trust the Holy Spirit because He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. You know, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, we have the ability to live a clean life. Not perfect, but clean. Amen? Because the Holy One lives on the inside of us. So does that little illustration kind of help you with understanding when God says to give? Don't think He's telling you to subtract. He's telling you, this is the solution. I want to multiply. So we have to give Him a seed that He can multiply with. Does that help you? Amen. Now, in light of healing, many times people say, well, Marilyn, I believe God is going to heal me. Well, in Isaiah 53:5, it does not say, by His stripes, you're going to be healed. It says, by His stripes, you are healed. And 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. So it has already happened. That's where the eye of faith comes in. You have to see, the eye of faith sees first what the natural eye does not yet see. You have to see it with the eye of faith. So people that say, I believe He's going to heal me, then what they're doing is they are waiting for something to happen. It's just like if you were to go to a doctor's office or a dentist's office and you go up to the front desk and you sign in and the receptionist says, thank you very much. Now, if you'll please just have a seat in the waiting room. What happens in a waiting room? You wait. That's all you do in a waiting room. That's the whole purpose of a waiting room is to wait. And you might wait 10, 20, 40 minutes. That's all you're going to do is wait. If you are waiting for God to do something, you might wait 10, 15, 20 years until you get a revelation. It's already happened. He's already done all that He is going to do. So we don't want to sit in a waiting room because faith is always moving. Faith is always active. Faith is never stagnant. It is never sitting in a waiting room. It's always moving, always active. Faith is always on the edge. I think I've shared with you before when I was miraculously healed of cancer. But 9 years after I was healed of cancer, every year I always go to the doctor just for my annual checkup. And this particular day, it was time for me to go in for my yearly checkup. And it was 9 years after I was healed of cancer. Feeling great. I went in for that doctor appointment. And then I had to meet my friend. We were going to go have lunch and go shopping at the mall. And the doctor said, Marilyn, how you feel today? I said, I feel great. She said, well, today, during the examination, I detected a tumor. And it appears to be a very fast-growing type of tumor and very possibly malignant. So if we cannot dissolve it in 6 weeks, we'll have to do another operation. And I said, I'll schedule my next appointment. She said, well, do you have any questions? No, I have no questions. Because all she can do is give me facts. That's all the facts I needed. I don't need all these details about the facts. Because truth reverses the facts. And it says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart about so many facts. You don't need to know so many facts because facts breed fear, and fear is the enemy of your faith. If you get a negative report, do not go to Mr. Google and ask him questions about that negative report. Mr. Google is not your best friend. So I just said to the doctor, no, I do not need to hear any more facts. I'll just schedule my next appointment. Now, I'm going to use wisdom because I'm going to the doctor, so I'll do what the doctor says. Amen. If I go to a lawyer, I'm going to do what the lawyer tells me to do. Amen. Or I have no sense even going. So I said, I will schedule my next appointment. Now, the very next thing I did, left the office, walked across the parking lot, got in my car, and the first thing I did was I sat there and I took about 3, 4, 5 deep breaths. Seriously, that can just help you to calm down. I just thought, okay, let's take a deep breath, just calm down. And the next thing I did, I had a conversation with myself. I hope that's okay with you. I said to myself, don't panic. Very easy to panic when you get negative reports. Amen. I thought, no, don't panic. And I immediately thought about Joshua and Caleb and how they were the only two spies that entered the promised land because they were the only two that refused an evil report. So I had another conversation with myself. I said, Marilyn, that was an evil report today. And I said, it was. And I give no place to that evil report. And I said, I decree, I give no place to a malignant tumor. And I give no place to a benign tumor. I don't want any kind of tumor. So in the name of Jesus, therefore, there will be no need to have an operation. Now, let me just say this. It is not a lack of faith to go to the doctor. It is not a lack of faith if you have to have an operation. You can have a speedy recovery. God anoints doctors. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, where I was at this point in my life, I thought, no. Been there, done that. I'm not going to do it again. This time, I am going to have another miracle. Because every time you need a miracle, there's one for you. Right. You're not just limited to one miracle. Amen? So I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I want another miracle. And I'm asking you to show me what is my part in receiving another miracle. I know sitting in the waiting room is not going to be the answer. I need to know what is my part to receive another miracle. And I'm talking about a miracle. I'm not talking about just going through chemotherapy and all this and recovering. And that's wonderful. I didn't want to do that. I want a supernatural miracle. So the next thing I did was I didn't go shopping. I didn't go and have lunch with my friend. Because if you want a miracle, you just might have to change some priorities. Because if you don't change your priorities to fall in line with God's word, to take his medicine, if you don't change your priorities to receive a miracle, it's a very good possibility your friends will have to change their priorities to come to your funeral. I'm going to have to get off work today, got to go to a funeral. No, I don't want my friends to change their priorities. I want to change mine. So I went home. And the first thing I did, okay, I'm going to take God's medicine. Because it cost Jesus his life. I'm going to get serious with this. And so I'm taking God's medicine. I'm looking at every healing scripture I can. I'm looking at it. And I preach this in that little book. I'm looking at it. I'm speaking it out loud. I'm receiving it. I'm believing every word that I'm looking at. I'm taking his medicine. The next thing I did was I start praying in the Holy Spirit. Because when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm speaking perfect prayer to the Lord. And I get my own emotions out of the way. It's really important. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal something to me. So I want to make sure that we're on the same page. So I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I also decided I'm going to fast one meal a day because when I fast, It causes the ear of my spirit to be more in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when I'm praying in my heavenly language, I'm staying very focused that I am praying to the Father through the Holy Spirit. So I want to listen. I'm not going to be busy doing a bunch of other things. When I'm praying in tongues, I am listening, because the Holy Spirit's always going to tell me what he hears the Father tell him to say. When I'm praying in a heavenly language, I can all of a sudden get the interpretation of one word. One word from God can change your life forever. So it's just like if you were to go to a restaurant on a Friday night and it is packed, you could close your eyes and know the restaurant is packed because you could hear all the voices of all the people, amen? But when you sit down at your table, you're only listening to the people at your table, right? It's the same way. You know, you can hear all these negative voices from the doctor, from the devil, but don't listen to, you can hear them, but don't pay attention to them. You pay attention to the Father. You pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And so when you pray in your heavenly language, listen, be very focused. You just get in your prayer closet and you just pray and just, Lord, I thank you. I am speaking to God. I'm not talking to men. I am talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you need to take that very seriously when you're praying in your heavenly language. Because I ask the Lord to show me, what is my part? We all have a part. Jesus has already done his. This is so critical that you understand, okay, what is my part? Especially when you want a supernatural miracle. Amen? So the next thing I did, I applied the word of God in James chapter 5. In James 5:14, it says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. You can call and ask to be anointed, have them pray for you. So I did. I went to my church and I told my pastor. I did not tell 100 people about my situation. I didn't even tell 3 people. Because at that time I was in a church where I knew nobody, I didn't know anybody that could be in 100% agreement with me. Because I wasn't in this kind of a church where I would hear the kind of teaching that you guys are hearing from Pastor D. I wasn't in that kind of a church. But yet I knew my pastor was strong in that arena. And he didn't preach it, but I knew he was strong in that arena. So I went to him and I told him, he said, yes, let me pray with you. Let me anoint you with oil. And so he did. And so now these 6 weeks, it's almost time for the 6 weeks to be over with. And I hadn't heard anything from the Holy Spirit. That's a good indication that you're going in the right direction. It's just like if your children are playing maybe out in the front yard and they're having very good behavior. Every 5 minutes, you don't say, that's good, that's good, that's good. You don't do that. It's only when the ball starts to roll out into the street and they start chasing it. What are you going to do? Stop. Wrong direction. That's how it is with the Lord. When you're intimate with him and you know his voice, it's when you go a wrong direction. You're going to hear that no. You're going to have that check in your spirit. So now I hadn't heard anything, and it's time for me to go for my last appointment. And I am actually excited to go to the doctor because I thought, I am going to get a miracle. And on my last appointment was on a Monday, and I thought, Monday is my day to get that good report that I am healed. And you know, you get so excited and you think, as soon as the doctor says, I just got a miracle, I'm going to tell the doctor, this is what my God has done for me. You need to come to my church. You need to meet my pastor. You know how we're all excited. We're ready to witness. And I mean, I am just bubbling over to go to the doctor. I just can't wait because I know I have a miracle with my name on it. And so I went and had my appointment, and the doctor examined me and she says, Marilyn, I'm sorry to tell you this today, but that tumor is still growing. It is now the size of a small grapefruit. So we're going to have to go ahead and schedule surgery now for Wednesday because we can't wait any longer. It just keeps growing and growing. And when she said that, I kind of checked out and I thought, into the spirit realm, I said, well, no, that can't. The doctor is not cooperating with me.
The doctor is supposed to tell me the tumor's gone, I've got a miracle, and then I get a witness to the doc. This is not the way it is supposed to go. So often, you know, we pre-program conversations that just don't go that way. And I'm thinking, no, this can't be. It just can't be. And I heard that I could hear the doctor saying all these negative things about they expect me to hemorrhage and Dr. So-and-so was going to be in the operating room. And it was like I could hear the devil laughing at me on the other side. And he was saying, you got that one miracle one time, but don't think you're going to get another. Isn't that just like the devil? So I'm hearing all this, and I thought, no, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Calvary because it is written. I am healed of this tumor, and I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm going to stay anchored. And I realized at that moment, right now is when I'm going to win or lose the battle. Right now, I'm going to win or lose the battle. And I thought, no, I give no place. Because when you get a report that you're not expecting, it's almost like they pull the rug out from underneath your feet. You know what I'm saying? They just knock the wind out of your sails. And I thought, no, 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 it just can't be. And the doctor said, Marilyn, are you listening to me? I said, yes, I heard you. She said, you have to go to the hospital tomorrow, Tuesday. And we're going to run all these tests. And because we have to, you know, put cameras inside and take pictures. And, you know, she's talking all this negative stuff. And so you have to go and you'll be at the hospital a number of hours tomorrow. And then you can go home at 5 o'clock. I'll call you and tell you what time surgery is scheduled for Wednesday. I said, I'll keep my appointment. She said, well, do you have any questions? No, I have no questions. I'll just keep my appointment. So went home, taking some more God's medicine, woke up Tuesday morning, taking God's medicine before I go to the hospital for all those tests. And that morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, go to church today and have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. Now remember I said I already did that? I got so excited, I said, God, I already did it. I'm thinking, gosh, I'm ahead of God. You know, I thought, oh, wow, this is really awesome. I said, I already did it, as if he didn't know. And the Holy Spirit spoke a second time, very firm. He said, I said, go to church today and have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. I think, this is God talking. Yes, I'm on my way. And immediately I thought about Naaman in the Bible. He had leprosy. And he was told to dip in the River Jordan how many times? Seven times. Was that logical to him?
No.
It makes no sense. I'm not going to do it. He's going into this logic and reasoning thing, and he is refusing to do what God told him to do. And the handmaiden said, if I was you, I'd obey the Lord. Forget about logic and reasoning. Just do it. And he did it, and he received a miracle. And I thought, you know, if Naaman had to be dipped in the River Jordan seven times, maybe God wants me to be anointed twice, three times, whatever. Dip, baby, dip. I don't care. Whatever. I want a miracle. You know what I'm saying? I want a miracle. I don't want surgery. I want a miracle. I said, yes, Lord, I'm on my way. I went back to church. I said, Pastor, the Holy Spirit spoke to me today, and I need to come back and have you pray for me again and anoint me with oil. See, logic could have said, well, what was wrong with the pastor the first time? Was the pastor not really up to par to pray for me? Or maybe it was the oil. The oil could have been old and rancid. We need fresh oil. See, logic and reasoning can defeat you. I said, I'm just going to do what the Lord said. So the pastor said, Marilyn, before I pray for you and before I anoint you with oil, I want you to tell me exactly what do you want me to agree with you on. And I said, Pastor, today I want you to agree with me that those test results will come back saying there's absolutely nothing there. And he said, if that's where your faith is, I will hook mine up with yours. Now that is a prayer of agreements. I will hook mine up with your level of faith. And so he did. I went to the hospital, had all these tests taken for hours, came home. 5 o'clock, the doctor called to tell me what time surgery is for Wednesday. And she said, Marilyn, I need you to come to the office. I said, well, just tell me over the phone what were the results today. She said, well, today the results showed there's absolutely nothing there. She quoted my exact words. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But what I want to emphasize is something very important. I expected my miracle on Monday. It came on Tuesday. And I could have lost that supernatural miracle when it was only one more day away. Had I wavered, it says, do not waver in well-doing. Do not cast away your confidence. It was at that moment I thought, I'm going to either win or lose the battle right now. I'm going to stay anchored. It is written. Now, I want to give you an illustration. And Lane, if we can pull up this other illustration. This is a picture of a calendar. Now, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there is a season for everything. The time was made for man. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry. We use calendars every day because time was made for man. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. But we do function around time. And so we circle dates on the calendar. A circle when you have maybe a picnic at the church. Maybe a baptism. You circle dates when you're going to go to kids camp. You circle a date when you've got a hair appointment. We use calendars all the time. Amen. We our whole life is revolved around time. But time was made for the natural man. Let's look at the next slide. I have here at the top a circle. That circle represents the realm of faith. It represents the realm of miracles. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is down here in the calendar part. Now, when I first received that negative report, I immediately started walking by faith. I give no place to a malignant tumor. I give no place to benign tumor. I'm up here in the realm of faith. I am believing God for a miracle. So I'm doing everything that I know that I'm supposed to do. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I am fasting. I've been anointed with oil. I'm doing everything I know to do to receive a miracle. But at some point, and I don't know exactly when it happened, but all of a sudden, I started my focus down here on a Monday. In my mind, I had circled Monday. I thought, oh, I can't wait for that Monday to come because my miracle is going to happen on Monday. Monday is not up in the realm of faith. Monday is down here in the natural timing. So I had slipped down from that realm of faith, and I began to focus on the natural. Monday's in the natural realm. And I didn't get that miracle on that Monday. When I was facing that spiritual junction in the road, I realized I am down here in the natural arena. I need to get back in the realm of faith. Forget about logic. Forget about reasoning. Forget about natural time. And I made an instant transition. I thought, man, I'm getting back in faith. I made that instant adjustment. No. I give no place. Forget about Monday. Just forget about Monday. I just believe for the report of the Lord. And then the miracle came on Tuesday because I was back in the realm of faith, not giving place just because it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We pre-program things, and if it doesn't go that way, don't stop believing. Thank you, Lane. Stay in the realm of faith, because that's where the miracle happens, in the realm of faith. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks," what? "Mysteries." See, it was a mystery to me what's going on. You might have a report from the doctor, and the doctor says, "I don't really know what's going on. We're just going to run a bunch of tests." Because the doctors, they don't know everything. And they'll say, "I don't know." The doctor doesn't know. But God knows everything. And when you tap into God, you're tapping into the realm of the answer. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're tapping into the Holy Spirit who can reveal to you the answer. He can reveal the answer to the doctor, if you have a doctor that prays in the Holy Ghost. But he can reveal to you what you need to do. Just like he spoke to me, you need to go back. Why did I have to do it twice? I don't know why I had to do it twice. Sometimes God just wants to know, do you really trust me? Can you really trust me? Can you just simply obey? Forget about logic. Forget about reasoning. Forget about trying to figure it out. Can you just simply obey? Because obedience always precedes a miracle. Always, always, always. So don't try to figure out why God wants you to do something. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're tapping into the realm of the answer. Do not reach into your mind. Reach within your spirit, because that's where the answer can be. You know, it takes effort. I mean, if you want a supernatural miracle, it does take effort. Wimpy people don't win. You've got to have that fighting spirit. You've got to be willing to keep going, just keep going, just keep going. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, Jesus invited Peter, James, and John to go up a high mountain with him. Now, Jesus always would go alone to be with the Father for prayer, and he always went up to the mountains. So Jesus was used to climbing mountains. But Peter, James, and John, they weren't used to climbing mountains. But on this particular day, Jesus invited the three of them to go with him, not just up an ordinary mountain. It said a high mountain. Now, they're not used to climbing mountains, and I'm sure they're halfway up there. And they're probably all huffing and a-puffing. And Peter's probably saying, "Are we almost there? Are we there yet?" You know, they had to just keep on going. But when they got to the top of that mountain and they witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you know it was worth all the effort it took to get up to the top of that mountain? Well, let me just tell you, things happen on the mountaintop that just don't happen in the valley below. And you've got to be willing to make that effort to climb that mountain. Have that bulldog tenacity where you absolutely refuse to be defeated. Amen. Don't give place to logic. Don't give place to reasoning. Amen. Father, we thank you so much that you have sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. I pray, Father God, that your word takes deep root into each and every heart today, that we will never be the same again. I thank you for that spiritual enlightenment for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. And I would like to, while your eyes are closed and your head is bowed, if there's anybody here, there's many of you I haven't met before. If you're here, whether it's the first time or the third time, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, that is the greatest miracle of all. That's greater than a blind eye being opened. That's greater than being healed of cancer. That's greater than all of that. That is the greatest miracle, because two things happen when you ask Jesus to come into your life. Number one, you are guaranteed and promised that when you leave this earth, you will live in heaven forever. But you're also promised and guaranteed that while you're on this earth, the Holy Spirit will live on the inside of you to guide you, to direct you every breathing moment of your life. So if you've never prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, but no one else is looking around, it's just me, I want you just to lift your hand real high. If you would like to pray that prayer, maybe for the very first time. Anybody at all? Or maybe you've prayed that prayer, but you've drifted away, and you can just sense the love of the Holy Spirit just wooing you back today. And you want to recommit your life to Christ. Is there anybody here like that? Anybody at all? Everybody here is saved? You know, I would encourage you, let's just pray that prayer together. But let me just say this. I'm sure every one of you know somebody that isn't saved. And I would encourage you to not just invite them, but bring them to church with you. Because heaven is very real and hell is very real. Heaven is, there is so much peace and beauty in heaven. But hell is a place of torment. If you read your Bible, it tells you there's going to be gnashing of teeth, screaming. It is a horrible. We can't even begin to imagine how horrible hell is. But people are going to go there. And it could be somebody that you know if you don't invite them to church. So bring people to church with you next week. But if you're here today, and I want to pray two things. One, if you're here and you have never received the Holy Spirit to come into you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want to pray with you today to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you need to be activated with your helper and learn to pray in that heavenly language. Is there anybody here that does not pray in a heavenly language and you want that today? Anybody? Just raise your hand. You can just come up here if you want to come up and I can pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? You haven't prayed in a heavenly language and you want that today? Don't miss out, because that is a gift from God to help you and to strengthen you. Anybody else? I know there's a few more people out here just to come up. You can come up here up here in the front. But before I pray with them, I want to just pray a corporate prayer to ask the Lord to come into your life. Because maybe you're here and you've never really, not fully persuaded that you're going to go to heaven. Let's just all pray that together corporately. I want everybody just to put your hand on your heart and just close your eyes and just focus on how much God loves you. And just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Father God, I do believe in Jesus, that He died on the cross and rose again from the dead. So Jesus, I ask You to come into my life today. Teach me Your ways and help me to be all that You have created me to be. And help me to turn my back on all those things that have been a distraction. So I receive You now as my personal Savior, my personal Lord. I choose to obey You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, if there's anybody else that you've never received the Holy Spirit, just let me, have you heard about the speaking in tongues? You know what that's all about? Well, you know the story of Peter when he walked on the water? You know, when he walked on the water, walking was not the miracle, because he walked all the time with Jesus. It's where he walked that was the miracle. Now, what's your name?
Lisa?
Jody. So you girls talk. We all talk. Talking is not the miracle. It's what's being said that is the miracle. So when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in you and fill you with a heavenly language, He's the one that creates the meaning of what you're speaking. Amen. He puts life onto those words. But in order for Him to do that, we have to open our mouth. We have to use our vocal cords so that He can create the words. He can't, see, I can't speak even in English if I don't open my mouth and use my vocal cords. Well, I can't pray in a heavenly language if I don't open my mouth and just let, by faith, I just let a sound come forth. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm, that's all we have to do. So we're just going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I'm going to start speaking in a heavenly language. I want all of you to start praying in your heavenly language. And then by faith, you just open your mouth and let a sound come out. is la branda la brata. I don't know what I just said because I was speaking in tongues. It wasn't English. So don't try to figure it out. Just let that sound come forth. Amen. Amen. Just by faith, you know that you're saved. By faith. You haven't seen heaven, have you? But you know that you're going to go there.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same way we don't understand when we're praying in a heavenly language. We just, by faith, we do it. Amen. So say this with me. Father, just fill me right now with your Holy Spirit. Can you say that? Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now let's all do it together. Brora siam brande ke la pampa. Brande ke la brasande. Brora siam brande ke la. Just open your mouth and let a sound come. La plata telepeketa. Brora siam brande ke la paka. Yes, just let a sound come. You don't have to understand it. Brora siam brande ke la poko shande. Gurambe ke la brande. Gerete ke la paka san. Just say it loud enough that you can hear yourself. It won't make any sense to you. Brora siam brande ke la la da pa. Zora me ke le peke. Brora siam la manta ta ta pa pa ka. Now what I want you to do is when you get home alone, I want you just to do that by yourself. Because sometimes we kind of feel awkward in front of everybody else. But when you go home, because you already asked, is there.